Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim daf mem. We are holding a daf lamed tesam beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina on the bottom, toward the bottom of the page on daf lamed tesam beis, about 7 lines from the end of the page. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and the Ili Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Shalom. It's also sponsored by David and Elisa Lasky, okay, the wording's messed up. In honor of Daniel's wedding today to Atara. Okay, I assume that's what it's in honor of, right? Okay, and in memory of Malka Shapiro, Malka Bashmol Zeva, by Yechiel and Adina Weberman, we thank the Neshama Shamilia. We thank all the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So let's begin. What the daf is going to talk about today is continuing the sugya of Bikur Cholim. So we've been talking about Bikur Cholim. Now we're going to discuss what the benefits to the Chola are of Bikur Cholim, and when the best time to do Bikur Cholim is, what the benefit is to the Mevaker in terms of the Schar that one gets for being Mevaker Cholim. The Gemara is going to tell us exactly how one should position himself when doing the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. And then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, going over to the very short Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to discuss about going to the mikveh in certain seasons of the year in the river, using the river as a mikveh in certain seasons of the year, and what the benefit or what the problems might be that arise in doing that. So let's begin. Again, we are at Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Kol HaMevaker Chola Not Alechon Mishishim B'Tzaro. So the Gemara says, anyone who's Mevaker Chola takes away 1/60th of his tsar. 1/60th, we assume, of his tsar means of his choli, of his actual illness. So they said to Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, Im Kain, if that's really true, that you could take away 1/60th of a guy's illness by being mevakarim, li alim shitin v'lekmua, go to him 60 times, or have 60 people, send 60 people to be mevakar chol of the person, each one will take 1/60th of the guy's illness, of the chol's illness, and then his illness will be gone. There is a discussion in the Achronim when we say that you take 60th of his illness, does that mean you remove 1/60th of his illness, or you literally take it for yourself, that you become a little bit ill, that a person themselves becomes ill? So the Gemara is not suggesting to go 60 times, it's suggesting to send 60 people, because if you assume that it means that you take 1/60th of his illness, it would be very poor judgment to go 60 times and then but the Gemara says that it's Ein Lashir anyway, that the Bikur Cholim is Ein Lashir, you got to go as many times a day as you want. It sounds like you only get to take 1/60th of his illness once, that no matter how many times you go, it's only you only get to take 1/60th of the person's illness, because we saw yesterday that Bikur Cholim is Ein Lashir, and that means that afilu meya pa'amim bayom, you got to go even 100 times over the course of a day. So anyway, so you take away 1/60th of his illness, so the Gemara says, so why don't we send 60 people to go be mevaker him? That the fractions work like the 1/10th of Rebbe, when Rebbe taught about 1/10th, and Ube Ben Gilo. It doesn't work with every visitor, it only works with a visitor who is Ben Gilo of the Chola. What does that mean, that he is Ben Gilo of the Chola? So the Ran explains, it means that he's Nolad in the same Mazel as the Chola. The Mefarish says that the Chola and the Mevaker are Bnei Osugil, meaning that a Bachar is Mevaker, a Bachar is Zakein is Mevaker Zakein. It means that they're in the same station in life, that only in such situations will this be effective, that you're going to take away 1/60th of the fellow's illness. But what was this thing about Rebbe, the fractions of Rebbe? What kind of special way of doing fractions did Rebbe have that sending 60 people is not going to work if we do Rebbe's system? D'tanya, Rebbe Omer, Basa Nizonus Minichseach, and Rebbe taught us that when a daughter gets supported from the nechassim that the brothers inherited from the father, Notelus Isur Nechassim, she gets 1/10th of the nechassim to pay for her wedding. Not a family coincidence. She gets 1/10th of the nechassim to pay for the wedding. So what does it mean, 1/10th of the nechassim? So I'm lo Rebbe, Lidvrechem, Yishiyesh Lasa Banos Uben, Ain lo Ben Makum Banos Klum. It will turn out that if a guy passes away and he has 10 daughters and he has one son, and the son is not going to get any Yerusha, because each of the daughters is going to get 10% of the estate in order to pay for their weddings, and then there's going to be nothing left for the son. We're going to be Oker Yerusha Daraisa entirely. So Lahan, he said, no, you don't know what 10% means. It means Rishona Notela Sisu Nechasim, the first daughter to get married takes 10% of the Nechasim, Shnia B'mashashira, the second one takes 10% of what's remaining, which means if there was 90% remaining, she gets 9%. Shalishas b'mashashira, v'chazas cholkas b'shava. And then we figure out how that would all add up, and they divide it evenly. So since if they all come at the same time to take the parnasa for the nisuin, so it doesn't make sense that one of them is going to get more than the other one. So that's how we do the cheshbon, and then we divide it evenly between them. So that's what the Mefarish points out, that they're really two separate dinim over here. Din number one is that if they get married one after the other, the first one takes 10% of the nechasim of the father, the second one 10% of what's remaining, v'chulei. The second din is that if they all come at the same time to get married, we would figure out how much would be distributed between all of them if they were to get married one after the other, but then we put all that money in a pot and we divide it equally, because there's no first and second if they're all coming at the same time to get married. It doesn't work based on seniority, it works based on who's coming to get married first. So if they all happen to get married at the same time, that's the way that we would do the math. Rabbi Chalbu chalash, Rabbi Chalbu got sick, nafak achriz Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana went out and announced Rabbi Chalbu ba'ish, Rabbi Chalbu was sick, lo ika de ka'asi, and no one came to be mevaker him. So a big question, why? Why would no one come to be mevaker Rabbi Chalbu? It sounds like a terrible thing. So the Ein Yaakov says that they were not b'nei gilo, and they assume that Bikur Cholam only works by b'nei gilo. I mean, however you understand ben gilo, whether you understand that it's born under the same mazel, or whether you understand like the Mefarish said that they're of the same basic age, but they figured that there's no point of Bikur Cholam when you're not ben gilo. And Rabbi Akiva, as we're going to see in this Gemara, was mechadish to them that no, even if you can't remove 1/60th of his illness, it's still worthwhile to go be mevaker chola, because there are so many things you could provide for the chola and you can help the chola with, even if you're not going to have this metaphysical benefit that somehow it removes 1/60th of his illness. On a practical level, on a very down to earth level, you're able to help the chola. In the Shalmin Nadarim, it says Rabbi Chalba was sick with one of the illnesses that the Gemara is going to identify in tomorrow's daf, that you're not supposed to be mevaker person because speaking is too difficult for him, and that's why they didn't want to be mevaker him, because they didn't want to make life more difficult for him. So Rabbi Akiva was mechadish. We're going to see when Rabbi Akiva is the one that convinced everyone that you really have to go visit anyway. So he's being mechadish that even if you're not going to go talk to him, even if you're not going to even be in the same room as him, it still is kedai to go visit and see what's going on in the house, see what they need, what the family needs, what the chola needs by speaking to the family members. Meaning there are other people that get chizuk from the Bikur Cholam also, and that you can help out in their support of the Chala. So those are a couple of the possibilities why no one went to visit him. Samalus, Rav Kahana said to the Chamim, why are you not coming to visit him? Lo kachal yemaisa b'talmid achim yitavini Rabbi Kiva. Don't you know the story that happened with one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Kiva? Shechala and lo nichlus chacham levakro, that he got sick and none of the Chachamim came to be mevakarim. So again, it seems like how often did this happen? That big people were getting ill and no one was going to be mevaker them. So in the Sefer She'el HaShalom, he says, by the Talmud of Rabbi Kiva, is because he was nota lamaves, and they were miyaish from his refuah, so they didn't come to be mevaker because they thought that there's no sense in doing the bikur because he's going to die anyway. So what's the sense of doing the bikur cholim, which is a strange cheshbon to make? What do you mean? Adrabah, so give him some chizik before he leaves the world. Every moment that he's here, every moment that he's on this earth, you should give him some chizik. I thought the pashtus was that this fits very nicely into what we know about Talmid Rabbi Akiva, that we're lo nagu kavod zevazeh, that this is a basic kavod that you give to another person, and they weren't nagu kavod. Of course, that takes a very literal reading of lo nagu kavod zevazeh. You have to throw out all the vartlach of what does it really mean that lo nagu kavod zevazeh. So if it really means lo nagu kavod zevazeh, then this would make a lot of sense. So v'nichlas Rabbi Akiva levakar, Rabbi Akiva went to visit his Talmud. Remember we said in yesterday's daf, daf that we said in Lashir that Bikur Cholim is in Lashir. So Abayi said it means Afilu Gadol Etzel Katan, that even a Gadol has to go to a Katan to be Mevaker, that it's not only when you're two people of the same station in life. Even though Rabbi Akiva is the Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva went to be Mevakerim. Ubishvil Shekibdu Viribtsu Lefan of Chaya. And because they cleaned up the room and they took care of him, they did the things, the basic chores that they needed to do around the Chola, it gave him a sense of Chiyas and he got healthy. So the Talmud said to Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, Hechi Yisani, you gave me life, you brought me life. Yatzar Rabbi Akiva V'darsh Kol Mi She'ein Mevaker Cholim Kilu Shofich Damim. So Rabbi Akiva went out and he darshan that anyone is not Mevaker Chola, it's as if he is Shofich Damim. So from the Pashtus of the Lashon, the Gemara certainly sounds like Rabbi Akiva himself was Mechabed and Merabetz, that even though that would normally be beneath the dignity of someone like Rabbi Akiva to be doing housekeeping, when it's a mitzvah, so you do it. Similar to what the Gemara tells us about the Gedolei Amoraim, that before Shabbos they were mechabed and merabitz the bayis, that they would take care of cleaning up the house, because when it's a mitzvah bo yosem mibishlucho, that you should do the mitzvah by yourself. You should, and that's not considered a lack of kavod. However, the Rush writes, no, that other people were doing the, but because Rabbi Akiva came, so it was a kavod Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva doesn't come to your house and the place is a mess. You clean up the house if Rabbi Akiva is coming. So when the challah was there, it was a pigsty and they didn't take care of anything and everything was a mess. But they heard Rabbi Akiva was coming, so then they cleaned up and they took care of everything. So they did it out of the kavod of Rabbi Akiva. Others say that no, it means that since Rabbi Akiva came, they said, ooh, this must be a chashuv bachur. We thought he was just one of the talmidim of the yeshiva, but Rabbi Akiva, the yeshiva is coming to visit him. He must be a very chashuv person. So it made others pay more attention to the chola and take care of his needs, and that way he gave him that sense of chiyus. Ki asa Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar kol mevaker es chola gorim lo sheyichya, that anyone who's mevaker chola causes him to live. The kol sheinu mevaker es chola gorim lo sheyamus, and if you're not mevaker chola, causes him to die. So my grandma says, Gemara, how does it cause him to live, and how does it cause him to die if you are and are not mevakerim respectively? If you're going to say that it's anyone who's mevaker chola is going to daven for him that he should be able to live. And anyone who's not mevaker chola is going to daven that the person should die. Really? Sheyamus al gadaydach? That's hard to say. It's not mistaver at all that anyone is not mevaker. Oh, why didn't you visit me? I was too busy davening that you should die. That's not normal. It's because I wasn't thinking about you. It wasn't because I was no. It wasn't because a person was davening the person should die. Ela kol she'ein mevaker chola ein mevakish levrachamim lo sheyichya velo sheyamus. That's what it is. That you're not going to be thinking about him at all. That part of the din of bikur cholim is to be mevakish levrachamim, is to daven for the person. So Rav Dimi says, if you're not mevaker the chola, so you're not causing him to live in a way that you would normally be able to by davening for his health, and not only that, even if it's a situation where being mevaker him would call for davening for him to die, you're not even giving him that hana'ah. There are some times where the situation, the implication is, the Rishonim point out, where the situation, the Ran writes over here, where the situation is that you should daven for him to die, where you see that he's suffering terribly and living is more difficult than dying for the person, so you're not allowed to kill him, you're not allowed to even withholding treatment is a very big sugya in halacha and is not so pashut, but it could be that it's appropriate that you should daven for him to die. That's what the Ran writes, that if he's mitzta'ir b'cholyo, just like we find at the end of the Gemara Maseches Ksubas Daf Kuf Dalet, by the Shivcha Social Rebbe, that she davened that Rebbe should die because he was suffering for so much tsar. And that's what the Gemara means. Hamavakar Sechola will, his tefillah will enable the Chola to live, and also will sometimes enable the Chola to die. And if you're not Mavakar him, you're not going to give him the great benefit of the tefillah that he should live, nor even the minor benefit of a tefillah that he should die. The Chasam Sofer explains, based on what the Gemara says in Brachos Lamedal that called Mavakish Rachum in Fnei Achola Einu Tzorch LaHasker Shemo. The Gemara says that when you daven for a chola and the chola is right there, you don't have to mention his name because if he's right there, so it's obvious who you're davening for. So the Mekubalim say that anytime you mention the name of a chola, even though it's appropriate and that's what you're supposed to do, it's ma'orer a little bit of midas hadin. It's ma'orer in some way by mentioning his name a little bit of midas hadin. So it says Chassam Sofer, if you put two and two together, it turns out that if you're mevaker a chola and you daven for him, you're causing him to live because you don't have to mention his name since he's right there. But if you're not mevaker him, even if you do daven for him, you're going to have to mention his name. So that's not as providing as much of a benefit because it could be that by mentioning his name in the tefillah, you're being ma'orer a little bit of midas hadin. So it could be that it's having a detrimental effect on a certain level if you daven for him when you don't go to be mevaker. So that's how the Chassam Sofer explains this idea. Rava yoma kadma adchalish, on the first day that Rava was sick, Amar Lahon, he said to the people in his family, lo tiglu l'inish, don't tell anybody about my illness, because I don't want it to be a bad mazel, because maybe they're gonna, my enemies are gonna daven that I should suffer even more, and their tefillahs are gonna be accepted, and I'll suffer even more. Mikan ve'elach, but after the second day of his illness, Amar Lahon, you know what? Go and advertise it. Go let everybody know. Post it on all your chats. Let everybody know that I'm sick. We should make a Ketilin group. To call the Sunni, because anyone who doesn't like me, Lichdili, is going to see that I'm sick and they're going to, you know, secretly or maybe not so secretly rejoice in my downfall. Uksiv bin falayv chal tismach. And then they'll be in violation of bin falayv chal tismach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to like that at all. So because they're rejoicing in my choli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to defend me, and he's going to give me my health back. Udarachem li, and those people who do like me, li bayalai rachmi, they'll daven that I should get better. So it's a win-win. The people who hate me are gonna. It's going to cause them to be nichshal. It may fall aivcha al tismach. So once they're nichshal, that's going to be a zchus for me, and the people who love me are going to daven for me, and that's going to be a zchus for me. So you don't keep it a secret when someone is ill. Better not to keep it a secret. Let people daven. Amarav, kol mevaker sechola nitzel midina shel gehenim. Anyone who's mevaker sechola is saved from dina shel gehenim. Shenemer ashrei maskil adol biyom ra'o yimalteu Hashem. That the maskil who helps out a dal, Hashem is going to save him when ra'a approaches him. And ein dal elechola, a dal means a sick person. How do I know that? Shenemer, because in the tefillah of Chizkiyo, when he got sick, it says midala yivatzeni. From this choli, I should recuperate. And from there we learn that a chol is called a dal, inami min adenkra, or from another pasuk, that a chol is called a dal, from the pasuk in Shmuel Beis, where Yonadav says to Amnon, when he saw that he was pan of ra'im, because he was lovesick with the love that he had for his sister Tamar, he said, madua atakacha dal ben hamelech baboker baboker. Why do you appear so ill? Ill meaning dal. And he used the word dal. You're shvach. You're weak. You're ill. And it's because he was hopelessly in love with Tamar. So now the Gemara explains the rest of the pasuk. Biyom ra'a yimalteu Hashem. How do I know that that means he's going to be nitzel medina shel gehenim? Ein ra'a el gehenim. Ra'a always means gehenim. Shenamar, because the pasuk says in Mishlei, Kol pal Hashem l'maneu v'gam rasha liyom ra'a, that everything that Hashem does is to praise Hashem, and the rasha Hashem designates for the yom ra'a, which is Gehenim, where he's going to pay him back, and that also is going to be a praise of Hashem, that the rishayim get paid back their just dues, and therefore the pasuk when it says maskil eldal means someone who pays attention to a chola and is mevaker a chola, takes care of the needs of a chola biyom ra'a in Gehenim, in the day of Gehenim yimalteu Hashem. Hashem is going to save him from the Dina Shel Gehenim. So that's how we see that someone is saved from Dina Shel Gehenim. Why is it that one leads to the other? The Dafka Bikur Cholim leads to being Nitzel Medina Shel Gehenim. So the Maharal in the Chidush HaGadol says that it's because the Chola, when he gets to Sharei Maves, it's as if he started to go down into the Sha'ol, into the depths, and Mvakar Sechol and saves him from the Sharei Maves. It's as if he lifted him out of Gehenim. And therefore, it's a Midah Kenegan Mida, that he too is saved from Gehenim, that here someone is sinking and sinking and sinking, and you give him a life raft, you give him a, you pull him up a little bit, so too the Mevaker, Mida Kenegan Mida is going to be rewarded. The Iyun Yaakov, he says that Mevaker Sechola causes him to live, or by taking one, either by taking 1/60th of his illness, or by being mechabit and merabit Slofanov, or by davening for him. And a chola is only is, and the Gemara is going to say in tomorrow's daf that a chola is when he's omen mecholio, it's mischaper malchala v'nosav, because the eish of the choli is b'makom the eish of Gehenim. So since the mevaker caused him to be saved from Gehenim, from the eish of the choli, and meaning what does Gehenim do? It provides a kapara for a person. So this person went through the illness and he got the kapara and then he got to go on with life. So you saved that person from Ganim, and that's the Mida Kenegan Mida, that a person that who's Mevaker Chala is also saved Midina Shel Gehenim. So Rav explains the schar of the Mevaker Chala, Vim Biker Mascharo, and if you visit a Chala, what is the schar? Mascharo? What do you mean, what is the schar? Kida Amar, we just said that Nitzel Midina Shel Gehenim, you're saved from Gehenim. What more do you need for than that? El Mascharo Bal Mazeh. No, when we say Mascharo, means what is the reward in Olam Hazeh? And that's what Rab says in Vakar Sechola Zocha to the following, that Hashem Yishmereyu V'yichayehu V'asher Ba'aretz V'ushar Ba'aretz V'al Titneu B'nefash Oivav. So these four brachos, Yishmereyu, Yichayehu, Ushar Ba'aretz, and Al Titneu B'nefash Oivav. What do those things mean? So Hashem Yishmereyu means Mi'yetzar Hara, that Hashem is going to protect him from the Yetzar Hara so that he won't sin. V'yichayehu Min HaYisurin, that Hashem is going to save him from punishment, from suffering. V'ushar ba'aretz means she'yu akol mischabdin bo, that everyone's going to honor him. Va'al tadeh b'nevashoivav she'izdamnu lo reyim kena'aman she'ripu sarato, that he's going to have a good chevra, he's going to have nice friends that heal him, like the friends of Naaman that were merapim from his tzara'as, because they told him to listen to Elisha, who told him to be tovel in the Yarden, and through that he was nirpa mitzarato. Va'al izdamnu lo reyim kerechavam, and he's not going to have terrible friends like Rechavim Shechilku Es Malchuso, who through their advice they caused the whole Malchus to be split, and they cut his power in half because of that, because his whole Malchus was split. The Iyun Yaakov says, you know, the whole question of the Gemara Mascharo was based on what the Gemara says in Shabbos Kuf Chav Zayin, that Mitzvah Pikur Cholim is among those things that Adam Ochel Perasol Mal Mazeh Vakarim Kehemes Olam Haba. So that's why the Gemara says Mascharo of the Mevaker in Olam Hazeh Nitzel Midina Shel Gehenim is very decidedly in Olam Haba type of schar, but we know that this is one of those things that ochel perosel bol mazeh. So Gemara wanted to know the other half of the equation. Where is it bol mazeh? So the Eina Yitzchak Rav explains that what the Gemara means to say is up until now we're talking about a case where the Chola dies from his Choli, and therefore the Schar of the Mevaker is in Olam Haba. He's saved Medina Shel Gehenim, just like he saved the Chola of Medina Shel Gehenim by reminding him to say Vidoy, and to, you know, when you're Mevaker a person at the end of his life, so you say Vidoy with the person, and you make sure that you clear the path, help them clear the path for them to go to avoid Gehenim, or to speak to him about encouragement and being makabel the Yisurim ba'ava. But if the Chola gets better, so then that's what the Gemara is asking. Okay, now I know Nitzel Midina Shel Gehenim if the Chola dies, but what if the Chola gets better? Then what's the schar? So that's what we're saying. The zchus that you were mevakrim, you cause him to do tshuva, so you're gonna, the schar in Olam Hazeh is that you're also gonna have an easier time with mitzvahs ma'asim tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is gonna save from the Yetzer Hara and Yisurim and all of these types of things. Once we're on the discussion of Rechavam and his friends who had advised him poorly, so says Mar Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer, Im Yomer L'cha Yiladim B'nei, if young people advise you to do what seems like they're telling you to build something up, Uzakenim Sasar, but older people, Zakenim, who have a little more life experience, tell you to do something that is in your best interest, but it sounds like they're telling you to destroy something. It sounds like they're telling you to do something that's counterproductive. Shemal Zakenim Valtishma Liyaladim. Listen to the Zakenim, don't listen to the Yaladim. Shabinyan Yaladim Stira, that very often the building of Yaladim turns out to be destruction, turns out to be Stira. Ustira Zakenim Binyan. And when Zakenim tell you to be Sosa, something very Yofin, that is actually binyan. The similar davar, Rechavam ben Shlomo. It's like if you have a house that doesn't have sturdy foundations and you let them tell you, build and build and build, build another floor, another floor, another floor, that's stira. The whole thing's going to come caving down. But if Zakein says, you know what, you got to start again. You got to pour a new foundation. So that sounds like it's stira, but it's really binyan, because then the ability for future binyan is greater. So the similar davar is Rechavam ben Shlomo, because the Na'arim were Yoetzim, that he should build and be mechazik his malchus and be machbid ala'am and be run a tight ship. So the whole thing fell apart. Had he listened to the Atzah Sekenim to go a little lighter on the people, that would have appeared to be like stira, but his malchus would have been built up and it would have been strengthened through doing something like that. The Marsha writes in Chedush HaGadol that in the Mashal is exactly what we just said with the foundation. The Marsha gives that exact mashal in the Chidush HaGadol. So, Amrav Shisha Breid Ravidi, Lo Lisad Inish Ketzira, a person should not be Mevakar Chola, Lo Betlas Shoy Kedmaisa, not in the first 3 hours of the day, Velo Betlas Shoy Besreisa, nor in the last three, the Yoma, nor in the last 3 hours of the day, because then you're not going to daven appropriately. Because at those hours, you're not going to daven that the person should have a refuah. Why not? Why would you not daven? So the first 3 hours of the day, Rav Chadaitai, the person has just regained his strength from a night's sleep, and it seems like he's better than he actually is. He presents as being healthier than he actually is. So you can think, oh, he's on the mend. He's getting better. He doesn't really need it. But in the last 3 hours of the day, he's exhausted and he's finished. So Tuk of Chulshay, his weakness is overwhelming. So the Mevaker is going to think, oh, there's no hope. There's nothing to daven for anymore. And if there's nothing to daven for anymore, why should I daven? The Rambam, Perek Yudal of Hilchos Evel, writes, Ein Mevaker Neschol lo b'sholosh rishonos b'yom lo b'sholosh achronos, because they're misaskin b'tzorchei achola. So the Kesef Mishnah says, lo yadati lo mihishmit tama gemara. I don't know why the Rambam would give his own reason to not visit the first three and last three. Right, the Rambam says, because that's when, you know, the nurses are busy, you know, with his medication and with things like that. So you want to go when they're not so busy with him. So, but he made up his own reason. So the Kazmish says, it could be that they didn't have the same gear. So whereas the Radvaz writes, Rabbeinu Chidesh Tamacher Lefi Bikiyusa B'chalo'im, that the Ram was a doctor. So he was in around enough hospitals that he knew what it looked like when the Chola was in the first 3 hours of the day, last 3 hours of the day. So he had other explanations beyond what the Gemara said of why it is not to be mevaker at those times of the day. It's interesting that the Gemara assumes that if a person visits when a chola is very, very sick, then he's not going to really daven properly. He's going to give up on davening, and that could be that's the halacha, meaning that if a person is hopelessly ill, and the doctors say that al pi derech hateva there's no hope, so you never stop davening. You always daven. The question is, what should you daven for? So it could be that you're not allowed to daven for a miracle. Once it would take a miracle for a person to get better. If it's something that al pi derech hateva could happen, so then you're allowed to daven. But to daven for a nes is not so posh. There's a discussion in the poskim. Do you consider davening for a chola where doctors say there's no hope? Is that called davening for a miracle? On the one hand, it sounds like it, but on the other hand, we even with all the medical advancements that we have nowadays, we know so little. We know so little about what causes a person to rally and what maybe, every day there are medical miracles that happen. So are they all miracles, or maybe we just don't really fully understand yet? So that's why Shlomo Zalman thought that there's no such thing as a miracle when it comes to refuah of a chola. In Shuvas Betzela Chachmi's Medayik from our Gemara, that you shouldn't necessarily tell a chola how sick he is, because he's going to have a chalisha sadas, and that's going to cause bad mazel. And that's what he brings the raya from our Gemara not to visit in the last 3 hours of the day, because the chola is very strong. And the Rishonim say that since the illness becomes very strong, the Mevaker is going to think that there's no hope. He's going to be miyayish. He's not going to daven properly because he's going to think it's a tefillah shav. So don't tell the choli about his own illness, because he's also going to, he's got to daven for himself also. He has to also, afilu cherev chadum unachas al ksefo shel adam, even when it seems that there's a sharp sword against it, he's al yimnatzmo min arachamim. He still has to daven. So you don't want to take away his hope from davening. So Cholah. How do I know that Hashem supports a Cholah? Shemar Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Devoy. So Yisadenu is the Lashon of Mazon. So you see that Kodesh Baruch Hu helps a person even when he's on his sick bed. V'amar Rav and Amar Rav. Minayin Shashchina Shruya L'malam Mitaso Shel Cholah. How do we know that the Shechina resides over the bed of the Cholah? Shemar Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Devoy. So you see that the Shechina is there with the Cholah by his bed. Tani Namiyachim. We have a Brisa that supports this, that the Shechina is the malami mitas rosh chola, hanichlas avakras chola lo yeshev lo algabi mita lo algabi safsal lo algabi kisei. When a person goes to visit a chola, he shouldn't sit on a bed, he shouldn't sit on a bench, he should not sit on a chair. Elamis atef, he should viyoshev algabi karka. He should wrap himself in a derech covered in mora and sit on the ground. Mimnei shchina shruya lemalami mitas shel chola. Meaning just like a person is misatef for tefila because you're in the presence of the shchina. A person is misatef when he visits the chola because you should recognize that he's in the presence of the shechina. Shenemar Hashem Yisadenu al Eres Devoy. So when the chola is lying on the karka and the mevaker is sitting higher than the chola, he's sitting higher than the shechina. So that's not proper, and therefore he too should sit on the ground. The Ran writes Yesh Misha Omer. That's only if the chola is on the karka that you're not allowed to sit on a bench, a chair, or something like that. But if the chol is on a bed, especially a high bed like a hospital bed, then there's nothing wrong with sitting on a chair that's actually lower than the chol. The Ritva brings a machlokas about this, that yesh omrim that it's not usher to sit on a mita or a safsal unless you're b'shavalim or ashosav shel chol, you're on the same level as the head of the chol. But if you're sitting on a place that's a little lower, that's fine. And yesh omrim that it's usher to sit kenegim or ashosav no matter what, even when the safsal is lower than the bed that he's on. So two deos in Rishonim that the Ritva brings. Now says the Gemara, Va'amar Rav and Amar Rav, Mitra b'ma'arava. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, Sada Rava Pras. The Pras River is made a major edus. When it rains in Eretz Yisrael, the Pras River overflows with rainwater, and everyone can notice that in Bavel. So Rav holds that since there's so much rainwater, you're not allowed to be tovel in it because you have to be choshesh that maybe the megashamim, which are called notfin, overpowers the main nahar, what we call zochlin, and megashamim are only metaher when they're beishporin, when there are still waters, meaning a mikveh is filled with rainwater, but then it's got to be a mikveh. It can't be flowing rainwater. Flowing rainwater is not metaher. So if there's too much rainwater in the river, you're not going to be able to become tahar. So upliga de Shmuel, and this Rav is being cholik on Shmuel in this regard. Damar Shmuel nahara mikifei misbarach, that the nahar comes from it's enhanced from its own source, meaning there's an underground spring where the water comes from. That's where the waters start overflowing from. According to Shmuel, when it rains, the nahar is misraba, but not from the rainwater. It's misraba meatzmo because of the rainwater. So the Gemara in Tainus talks about this, that every tefach of geshamim you have tefachayim min hakarka that comes kenegdo. So when the tefach of rainwater comes down, two tefachim come from it. So it's never going to be that the rainwater is going to outnumber, is going to be more in volume than the natural waters. So you don't have to worry about yirbuah not finala zochlin. Upliga de Shmuel ad Shmuel. But the truth is, Shmuel himself is an inherent stira, because Shmuel says elsewhere, Da'amar Shmuel, Eina mayim mitarin bezochlin, that the rivers are not mitaher when they are zochlin, ela pras biyomei tishrei bilvad, except for someone who is tovel in the Nahar Pras during the month of Tishrei, because Pras the waters don't stop, but the Naharos that sometimes stop, you can't be tovel in them because you have to be choshesh that for megashamim or for the melting of ice, and even in the Paras River, you can only be tovel in Yimei Tishrei because that's not as man geshamim and it's not as man of melting snow caps. But the rest of the year, which is a time of rain or a time of melting snow, you have to be choshesh that there's more megashamim or melting snow, more so than more of that kind of water than there is mei nahar, than there is zochlin, and megashamim are not metar when there's zochlin, only when they're omdim. So Avuah de Shmuel, the father of the Amora Shmuel, Avadon mikvaos lebnasei, he built mikvaos for his daughters biyome Nisan, during Nisan, so that they could be tovel, because you can't be tovel in a river during that time, because you have to be choshish that there's more megishamim than there is the main nahar, so you can't be tovel. Megishamim are not going to be metayer if they're flowing waters. And what he did was umaftzi biyome Tishrei, when they would be tovel during the Tishrei in the river during the month of Tishrei, he would build these mats in order to put them in the river, so to help them at the Shas Tevila, meaning he would allow them, they would go to the mikveh in the river during Yom Tishrei, but they would go on mats that were placed down in the river. Rashi explains that it was under their feet so that the mud of the river shouldn't attach to their feet and become a chatzitza. So the Ramban and the Rashi ask, what do you mean by chatzitza for tevila? Tita boros, tita yotzum is chatzitza, like the Mishnah says in Masechta Mikvaos. But regular mud that's natural to the river is not a chatzitza at all. So how could Rashi say they needed the mats in order to protect themselves from chatzitza? So the Ran and the Rif are metarets. They have to say that the mud at the bottom of the river was very, very thick, and therefore it was a chatzitza. But Rishonim ask Vayter and Rashi that there's halacha in Maseches Mikvaos, the Mishnah Maseches Mikvaos, that hit bilboas hamita afal pi sharaglel shakuos batita ava tahora mipnei shamayim mekadmin, that if you're toveling a bed, let's say, even if the legs of the bed dig into the mud at the bottom of the mikvah of the river, it's still fine because the bottom of the legs of the bed got wet on the way in. So why don't you say the same thing by the woman, that he had to build mats so that their feet wouldn't get in the mud? The feet got wet on the way in. So that's the major kasha that the Rishonim ask on Rashi. Tosos in Masechta Shabbos of Samachay says in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, these aren't mats that were on the floor of the mikvah to protect their feet. No, these were mats that were made as mechitzos around the mikvah, so no one would see them. It was a river; it was a public area. So he built tznius mechitzos for them. That's all it was. So it was all mipnei tznius. The Torah writes in Simchut Tzadikas Nafkamina Ladina between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. According to Rashi, that the chashash is the chatzitza of the tit. So even b'diavad lo also the tefila. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the chashash is that she's going to be so embarrassed, she's going to rush through the tevila and not do a tevila properly. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. That's why they had to build these tznius mats, because otherwise she may not be tovel properly. That's why we strongly discourage, even for whatever reason the situation at the mikveh is not ideal, we strongly discourage using the beach as a mikveh, because no one's comfortable using the beach as a mikveh. She says, no, is someone going to see? She's going to get arrested for indecent exposure. So, you know, you don't want, so no one's comfortable using. So we during COVID it came up a lot. There were some women that were terrified to go with all the precautions and everything else, terrified to go to the mikveh. So they only wanted to go to the beach. It's dangerous on so many levels, and it's also halachically not so good. Amar Rabbi Ami Amar Rav, what does the pasuk mean when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yechezkel to go into Galus, to a different place, to be meramis to people that Anshe Yerushalayim are going to have to go into Galus, so hopefully they'll do tshuva. Va'ata ben adam aseh lecha klei gola. So what are klei gola that a person needs in Galus? Zuner, the kli in which a fire is lit. The ner in times of the Gemara means the kli that you put the oil and the wick in. Uka'ara, and a small plate to knead some dough for yourself, and if you need to eat something. Ushatiach, and a little mat that you could be able to sit on to eat on. Those are the basic necessities that a person needs in Galus. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow Elisha will pick up from there. I'm going to be away the next couple of days, traveling the next couple of days. But Be'ez Hashem, I'll be back on Wednesday morning. Okay, everyone, have a great day.
Take care.